I'm Kelsey Zeiser. Welcome to the Light Reading Podcast. We're here in New Orleans ahead of Jazz Fest, and we're meeting with Verizon to hear more about their mobile and also permanent network infrastructure that supports events like Jazz Fest. So I'm joined by
Gerard Hudson with Verizon.
Nice to see you. That's perfect.
And Guillermo Salinas with Verizon.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being my tour guide this morning. It was great to go to the fairgrounds where Jazz Fest is going to be. And Gerard, since you're a local, what can people expect at Jazz Fest in terms of the turnout and, you know, how many days is it? Can you give us a little background on it?
Yeah, so Jazz Fest covers two weekends, but they start the Thursday before the weekend. So it's a pretty long event over a two-week period. There's usually about 400,000 attendance, and there's very large crowds, and the food's also very good. And the music's good, too. The food's good.
They're both good, yeah. Yeah, I saw a lot of the food stands, and it was making me hungry seeing all the, like, po' boys and different drinks and teas and things that were set up as well. Can you all tell us a little bit about what it takes from both a mobile and permanent infrastructure standpoint to support so many attendees in one place at one time?
Yeah, absolutely. So we specifically for Jazz Fest deploy two very large mobile assets. We've traditionally been doing that for a while, and every year, you know, data consumption, you know, it's growing. And people use data specifically from the Verizon network a whole lot. And a good example is what we talked about earlier, when people are now, you know, both the booths and, you know, whomever is trying to get a po' boy are doing all this cashless, right? So they're using their phones, they're using different apps, and you know, besides sending video to their friends and all this. So we got to size our assets and our network to be able to cover this event with really good network performance.
Mm-hmm. And some of the things we saw today were, I love that you all kept with the barnyard animal theme of the cat's meow. Tell us a little bit about what that is and the kind of connectivity it provides.
Yeah, so the Cat's Meow is just an all-in-one trailer with a scissor lift, so it's easier to deploy, and it has the capacity of multiple what would normally be a macro cell site in like a neighborhood. And it's, you roll it out there, you fire up the generator, you connect some coaxial cables, you put the scissor lift up, and it's ready to go. There's a little bit more work than that, but it's better than what we had, let's say, 7 years ago, where we were assembling entire temporary monopoles on site with ballast and large cranes.
And part of the meows, I think it stands for Matsing Equipment on Wheels. Is that right?
You got
it. Okay, excellent. Good job. So it's got the Matsing antenna, which I believe is something that is commonly used also at Super Bowl, large sporting events. Is that right?
Yeah. So the Matsing antenna, that's a specific company that makes the antenna with this lens technology. They're recognizable because they're usually a very large sphere up on a pole or in the rafters of a stadium now. And it can do extremely tight beams of RF. So where you might have, on a macro site, you may have a single antenna that has a 60-degree beam width. With a Matsing antenna, you might be able to fit 12 beams of capacity into that same area. So for large user events, it lets you slice up the crowd into individual sectors, basically, where for a macro site, it might only be on one, and then you have overloading capacity issues.
And Guillermo, can you talk about the connectivity, 5G, 4G, millimeter wave? What's available with the Meow?
Yeah, absolutely. So in this particular event, we've deployed all our bands. So both 5G ultra wideband and 4G LTE. So on the antenna that Gerard is talking about, we are using 4G LTE different frequencies. And then on the smaller antennas at the bottom of the big antenna, we have several sectors of C-band and millimeter wave. So in essence, we're using all the spectrum that we have available. And you know, a lot of consumers now in Verizon are migrating to our 5G ultra wideband network, which is, you know, extremely fast, low latency, and you know, gives a much better experience. Mm-hmm.
And we also took a tour outside of the grounds for Jazz Fest, mm-hmm. and took a look at some of the permanent infrastructure. Can you tell us about what you have deployed in terms of small cells, new cell towers, things like that?
Yeah, so we've been working on deploying some new small cells that cover a specific parade in New Orleans called Endymion. It's one of the largest parades, and it has its own route through the mid-city area. And it's tens of thousands of people that line up on the neutral ground or the median of the street and in front of the houses. And it's a very difficult coverage capacity need. So we've now built, I think it's 6 small cells down part of the parade route to try to handle it. For people that haven't been to Mardi Gras, it's very hard to imagine how many people will show up for these parades. It's really unfathomable for most people that haven't visited before, but it'll be a 50-foot deep sea of humans for miles down the parade route. So that's what the new small cells are hoping to alleviate some of our issues there.
Yeah, you all shared some pictures with me, and I thought, this is not my cup of tea. More power to the people that can, you know, come and be in a part of those, you know, giant festivals and parades. But wow, it's a lot of people packed into a tight space. What kind of impact does that have in terms of strain on the network, and how do you kind of plan ahead for that? You also, Guillermo, talked to us on the tour about assessing network performance after. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to use the data that we have today to be able to plan for the future. So specifically in the Endymion Parade, for example, we would look at the years before and how network has performed and then try to optimize the network today, but also plan for the future. So part of the small cells that we're building today and that we will continue to build through the years are aimed at absorbing this type of, you know, data consumption and be able to process and give the customers the best experience. And, you know, in a nutshell, the best experience is you're able to send videos, you're able to process your applications, you're able to do whatever you want with your devices at the time that you want to do it with, when it matters most to you. And a lot of people like to share their experience live, so, you know, we give them that opportunity.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you don't share it, it didn't actually happen, right?
For a lot of people don't, that's right.
And then how do you kind of apply those learnings elsewhere in Verizon's network to other areas in the country? Is New Orleans a good case study almost because there are so many large events here that draw so many people from all over?
I would say, so just New Orleans in general, the Mardi Gras situation where we have to build out so much capacity for the parades, it helps us when we have larger events like Super Bowl, because the French Quarter and other parts of the city already have a lot more capacity added to them just for not BAU, but Mardi Gras every year. So it does help. I don't know the rest of the country.
So we do take in consideration what happens in every city and we aggregate everything. And, you know, now we have a different way of utilizing that data. And through AI, we are also learning new ways to understand, you know, the behavior of the devices, the behavior of the network, and then use that, you know, against any other scenarios. Like it could be, you know, parades, for example, to celebrate that, you know, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can apply that kind of same scenario of a lot of people in one particular route. And then, you know, we communicate with other parts of the country and share that data, and you know that it's very useful as you're proposing.
Yeah. Do you apply any network slicing or digital twin type technologies to some of these big events?
So not yet. We are on the verge of doing that. So when we go standalone in some particular areas, that's something that we will for sure, you know, take advantage of.
And I believe you also said some additional fiber infrastructure was added after Katrina. Is that right?
That's right. So when Katrina happened, you know, a lot of things changed, especially for us here in New Orleans. We built our own fiber network. We also, you know, consider having generators on every site. We also consider raising a lot of our equipment, you know, 21, 26 feet above sea level. So lots of different things that we did, you know, now have an impact on the reliability of the network. Reliability for us is a cornerstone of who we are. And so we're always chasing, you know, that perfect, like always providing the network when our customers need it the most.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I believe you also said the cell towers are rated to withstand up to Hurricane 5 level winds, which is an industry standard. Is that right?
Yeah. So different parts of the country will have different wind load characteristics, mm-hmm, and standards. So here in the coast, it's very important that they're wind rated for a very high standard. And the industry has that standard, and the tower manufacturers and the tower providers, you know, follow those guidances. So yeah, we definitely have to have high rating against hurricane level winds.
Yeah.
You know, because we're in the coast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's certainly a lot to account for in terms of just supporting the number of people that come to these festivals, but also taking into consideration the environmental impact that could have on your network infrastructure as well. So a lot of factors to consider. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast for the tour today. And I'm also glad we got to stop and have a few beignets as well. That was great.
Yeah, that was absolutely great. Yeah.
If you need any dinner recommendations, oh, you're flying out today. No, I'm sorry.
Okay, no dinner recommendations. Well, that'll be on the next podcast. Yeah. Thanks, Gerard and Guillermo.
Thank you very much.